Good to be together. Going to get into God's Word, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. If you could get there, we're going to talk this morning about winning at spiritual leadership. Winning at spiritual leadership. We're going through 1 Timothy verse by verse, series titled The Good Fight. All right. Any kind of competitive endeavor that you might embark upon, maybe it's a board game, maybe it is a sporting event, there are keys to winning. In fact, if you watch sports this afternoon, you'll see maybe right before the game starts, the commentators will talk about what are the keys to winning this game for such and such team, right? You'll hear things like, if it's a basketball game, offensive rebounding, stay out of foul trouble, and turnovers. If you can manage those three areas, you will win. The keys to winning. And the title this morning for this message is Winning at Spiritual Leadership. And we're going to talk about six keys. Now, why do I say winning? Because I wanted to talk about sports? No. Because Timothy is in a fight. There is a false teaching at Ephesus. This is real. There are people who believe differently than we do, than Christians do. There are false gospels. And there's a real battle, and Timothy is in it, and we're in it too. Timothy is facing this fight, and Paul is telling him in this book to fight the good fight, to win the fight. And so he's going to get very personal, giving Timothy advice for him as a pastor this morning on keys to his spiritual leadership as a leader. We're all leaders somewhere. You might be thinking, oh, I'm not a pastor. Is this for me today? Well, we are all leaders in some capacity, whether you're, you know, a parent, whether you are a pastor, whether you're a small group leader in a church, whether you're married, whether you're, you know, an employer, maybe just needing to grow in leading yourself. But we're all leaders in some capacity and need to win more at spiritual leadership. I need this. I don't feel like much of a winner most of the time as a spiritual leader, as a leader. And so this is good encouragement for all of us. Three observations real quickly before I read this passage. Number one is that this is a very personal passage. Not for me, I mean it is, but for Timothy. You just get this sense. Paul knows him. He's talking right to him. And I want to say with that, that's great, we'll study it, we'll get to see that, but I don't want us to hear that and think, oh, it's not for me then. I want to just tell you, even though Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and it's in the first century, and you might think, what does that have to do with me? You know, at the end of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 21, it actually says this. Turn back there if you want to, but it says, grace be with you all. It's interesting. Even though Paul's writing to Timothy, he knows, and he says, you all, plural, he knows there is a church reading this letter. It's to Timothy, but it's for Christians. And we are to apply it to our lives as well. So it's very personal. It's also very focused on the example of leadership. Many things in the Christian life are more caught than taught, and we see that really come through in this passage. And then finally, and we're about to read the passage, but I just want to tell you, give you a heads up. There are 10 commands in this passage. 10 imperatives. Literally, you know, like grammar class, there are 10 commands. I almost titled it the 10 commandments of spiritual leadership because there are 10 commands in 6 verses. This is very action-oriented. Here they are. I mean, command, teach, despise, be, devote, neglect, practice, immerse, keep, watch, and persist. 10 commands in 6 verses. A lot packed in here. Let me read it to you. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 16, and we're going to look at 6 keys to winning at spiritual leadership this morning. Verse 11. I'm going to read it. I'm going to pray. We're going to jump in, okay? Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, which is life to us. God, we've taken in lots of information this week. Things we're grieving deep in our hearts, violence in our nation. God, we are grieved. We lift up those who are hurt and mourning today in a way that many of us hopefully will never have to experience. We pray, Lord, for the church to be the church in these situations. God, we ask that you would raise up great spiritual leaders in our nation and even through our church, Lord. And just bless the teaching of your word today, Lord. May your words and your thoughts become ours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Winning at spiritual leadership. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 16. The first key is take initiative. Take initiative in spiritual matters, coming from verse 11. So much of leadership is taking initiative. I could talk the whole sermon about this. Take initiative in spiritual matters. Look at what it says in verse 11. He says, it's a simple verse. I mean, look at it. It's so easy. It says, command and teach. Do you see? It says these things. Do you see that? These things. That's a phrase Paul uses a lot in 1 Timothy. These things. And you're like, I wasn't here last week. What is that? I don't know. Paul uses that phrase a lot. It refers to everything he's saying. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, we've been talking for a while, Timothy. We're in chapter 4. There's a lot of stuff on the table at this point. And he's pointing to him. He's saying, these things right here. Do something about it. That's what he's saying. What are you going to do about everything you've been learning up to this point and will learn in this study? Do something. Timothy, you have heard actionable intelligence. Are you going to be passive? Or are you going to be a leader? That's the point. He's saying, look, you've got these things. Now do something with them. And what's he to do as a spiritual leader? He is to, see in verse 11, it says, command and teach. Command and teach. It's really clear. I mean, Paul is just saying to Timothy, he knows Timothy, and it's to Timothy, but it's for us too. He's just saying, take initiative. Do something. Take initiative in the way a spiritual leader, and particularly in Paul has in mind here, Timothy's role as a pastor, the way that initiative is taken is first command. I mean, this is a military term in the Greek. I mean, he's saying, use the authority that God has given you as a spiritual leader. That's what he's saying. It's not what he's saying. It is what he's saying. So often I see this with leaders. Just a hesitancy to just really step up. To use the authority God's given you. To step out and take initiative. People need leaders. God's called you to lead. You lead. Take initiative in spiritual matters. He says to teach. You've got to teach. You can't just be Mr. Bossy Pants. You got to teach. You got to give interesting teaching on God's word. You got to help people be informed and understand God's word. So take initiative in spiritual matters. The importance of taking initiative as a leader. Think about it. It takes courage. Favorite quote on courage. It's the inner resolution to go forward in spite of obstacles and frightening situations. Martin Luther King. Even the right decision is wrong if it's made too late. The CEO of Chrysler. Taking initiative in spiritual matters is so key. Timothy's being charged with this. You've got these things, Timothy. Do something with them. Command and teach. Address this false teaching. Teach these believers. Train them in the gospel. Get this church healthy. That's what he's saying to Timothy. Number two, second key. That was a good one. Man. Number two, be impressive in spiritual maturity. Be impressive in spiritual maturity. Winning at spiritual leadership. Six keys. Be impressive in spiritual maturity. Verse 12. This is a famous verse. We're going to study it right now. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Be impressive in spiritual maturity. We know that Timothy was in his late 20s, 30s, maybe early 30s. And Paul is saying here, Timothy, you cannot control your age. You cannot control the amount of experience you have had up to this point. There are people who became Christians who had Paul as their pastor for a while. Now you're their pastor. Some of them have fallen away. They've been sort of taken over by false teaching, and they don't respect you, Timothy. What are you going to do about it? You can't do anything about your age. What can you do? You can control your example. He says so clearly, he commands. He says, let no one despise you for your youth. No one here should include also Timothy. Timothy himself, he better not despise his own youth. Sometimes we don't even have to, no one even has to despise our youth. We are already despising. We've already counted ourselves out because of our age before it's even begun. So foreign to Scripture, that idea. Let no one despise you for your youth. He can't control his age, his natural maturity, but he can control his spiritual maturity. He can discipline himself for godliness. We looked at that last week in chapter 4, 6 through 10. The word here, literally, it says to be an example to the believers. Do you see that word? Example. The word is actually, in Greek, the word we get type from. Like a typewriter. It means to make an impression. To strike with a mold. To really leave a print on somebody. And so the word example is good, but it's kind of, you know, it makes you think, oh, you know, you could just read someone's biography and that's an example to you. But really, the idea is here, make an impression on people. That's why I chose the wording for this point, which I think might even feel uncomfortable. You're like, gosh, I don't want to try to be impressive. You need to be impressive. Young people especially need to hear this. We need to be impressive in our spiritual maturity, not in a prideful, boastful way. But the definition of impressive is this: to make someone feel admiration and respect, to make a mark on a subject using a stamp, seal, or imprint. That's the only way you can gain influence as a leader if you're young, because it's not coming from your age. Be impressive in spiritual maturity. Now, he gives five areas to sort of govern and regulate how we're seeking to do this. Look at these five areas. The first one is in speech. In speech. He's not talking about giving speeches here. He's talking about in your everyday speech, in your language, in the way you talk. And think of Timothy being young, and think of this. If you're young, be challenged by this. Speak up. Articulate. Be mature. Speech, conduct, your everyday living. Just who you are as a person. Be exemplary. Be impressive in your speech, in your conduct. What about love? In your love, and this is in contrast to the false teachers at Ephesus who were so selfish and self-centered. Paul's saying, Timothy, be about other people. Love means you before me. It means to selflessly put another's before yourself. So Timothy, be exemplary in love. And what about faith? What about faith? What about Timothy's personal faith in God, or his faithfulness, his reliability? Be exemplary in how reliable you are as a young person. Well, I'll be reliable when I'm older. Still figuring it out. Figure it out now. Be exemplary. Be impressive. Purity. See purity here? All coming from the text. Do you see it there? The last one, important, saves the best for last. Purity. Timothy, be an example in purity. Men, this is convicting. This is not just purity in your life, but in your thoughts and in your mind and in the motives of your heart. He'll later say in chapter 5, verse 2, next week we'll look at it, Timothy, treat younger women as sisters in all purity. pure motives, pure thoughts, a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see the Lord. Timothy, be an example. Be impressive in your spiritual maturity, winning at spiritual leadership, number one. Number one, take initiative. Number two, be impressive. Number three, get in the word with my people. Get in the word with my people. So see verse 13. He says, again, he's talking to Timothy. Timothy's a pastor. He's a spiritual leader. He's like you. You have an area where you lead. He's a little discouraged. He needs encouragement. He's kind of like, what do I do? Which way is north? Which way is south? Paul, give me some advice. Paul's like, yeah, I got that. Verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Now, what does Paul have in mind here? It's interesting if you read this verse. Is he thinking like, hey, until I come, and I'll just, you know, once I get there, we don't even need to read the Scriptures because I've arrived. Is that what he's saying? No, I think the way I read this is, until I come, parentheses, and read the Scripture, how about you, Timothy, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. He says to devote yourself to this. Again, the point, getting in the Word with my people. This is a simple thing for winning at spiritual leadership, getting in the Word, taking people to the power, getting in the Word with my people. So for Timothy, this would have been the public reading of Scripture. This would have been reading the Old Testament. This would have been reading the letters that were circulating in the early church. For us, this would be reading the Bible with people. In church, reading the Bible together. At Starbucks, reading the Bible together. In fellowship group, reading the Bible together. One-on-one, reading the Bible together. At your home, reading the Bible together. It's important. It's challenging. It's encouraging. Why? Paul says in 2 Timothy, same guys, same two guys, pen pals. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. Just think for a moment, though. Put yourself in this moment in history. Everyone did not have a Bible. They did not throw Bibles out on the end of each aisle for you to get. There were no apps for the Bible. The printing press was not invented until the 1400s. The internet came later than that. People did not have a copy of the Bible. So they had to hear from God. They had to hear the Word. So Timothy, you've got to read the Word to the people. Don't put a barrier between God's people and God's Word. And such powerful things happen when God's people get God's Word. And that's why this is so critical for a spiritual leader to get the Bible and get the people and get together and read it together. Jesus did it. I'll show you this verse, Luke 4:16. Maybe just write that down. Luke 4, verse 16. It says, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Hey, Jesus did it. Jesus publicly read the Scripture in the gathering of God's people. And the early church was built around what they were doing in the synagogue. I mean, this is the idea here. Read the Word. Get in the Word with my people. Such amazing power and life transformation happens when we're in the Word together. Not my opinions and your opinions, but you and me and God's opinion. You think, what is a healthy church? Oh, I just want to find a healthy church. I just want to find a church that I think would be good for my family to go to. This should be at the top of your criteria. The Word. Is the Word read? Is the Word taught? Is the Word used in the service? Winning at spiritual leadership, six keys. Number four. Develop the gift God put in me. Develop the gift God put in me. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Paul is calling Timothy's attention back to a time when Timothy was called into ministry, when leaders came around Timothy's life and said, we see this in you, we're praying for you, we recognize these gifts God's given you, and we're affirming you as a pastor, as a minister, as a leader. He's saying, Timothy, go back to that moment. Remember that. Remember you have a gift, and you have to do something with your gift. Not just use it, you got to cultivate it. You got to develop it. You got to be faithful. That's what he's saying. He's addressed this with Timothy a bunch of times. It's like Timothy has an issue here. Chapter 1, verse 18, already in this book, he reminded him about that moment of getting that gift. In chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy to fan the flame of the gift of God that is in you. So he's got a spiritual gift. And I don't think anyone knows for sure what Timothy's spiritual gift exactly was. We know that every Christian has a spiritual gift. We know that a spiritual gift is a supernatural gift from God that you get at conversion to Christ that he gives you to glorify him and to build up the church. And it might be totally corresponding to your personal sort of hardwired skills and abilities. It might be actually the opposite of them. I've seen both. I've really seen both. You may not be wired at all for something, but that may be your gift. And you may have to really trust in the Lord to do it, and you may want to neglect it like Timothy, but when you trust in the Lord to do it, people see it and they go, wow, you have a gift. You say, yeah, it's all God. Or it may really overlap with your personal skills, but when you trust in God and he really gives your personal skills and abilities just the supernatural ability to do more, it just blesses the church and glorifies God. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Timothy has a spiritual gift. Timothy is being reminded and encouraged here that to win at spiritual leadership, he has to develop the gift God put in him. What could he have been doing? Maybe he was neglecting his gift because he was discouraged or weary. Maybe he was neglecting his gift because he was trying to pursue a gift that he did not have. Timothy, be yourself. Be God's best version of Timothy. Timothy, let God use you. You're not Paul, Timothy. And you don't need to be Paul. You're not Titus, and you don't need to be Titus. Timothy, be you, and let God work through you. Develop the gift God put in you. 1 Corinthians 4 says, it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Winning at spiritual leadership, 6 keys. Initiative, impressive, maturity, get in the word, develop the gift. Now, number 5, going kind of fast, sorry. Be fully invested in my ministry. Be fully invested in my ministry. And again, this is for a pastor. This is for Timothy. And I have no problem with lifting that up, saying this is for a pastor, it's a charge for a pastor. That's incredibly relevant and important to every Christian. But it's also important to apply it to yourself and think about how this applies to you as a spiritual leader. Be fully invested in my ministry, whatever God has called you to do for him. Verse 15, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. It's strong language about being invested and prepared and practicing and committed. He doesn't really tell Timothy, hey, Timothy, the Lord will give you a word Saturday night. Just wait for it and then walk in and share that word. No. Practice. He's like, Timothy, the Lord will give you a word as you practice, as you prepare, as you seek God. Practice. Prepare. Be immersed. The definition, or this word practice, is a really full term. It means to devise. When it talks in the Psalms about the people, they devise schemes against the Lord's righteous. It's this idea of daydreaming, of sort of thinking all day. Have you ever, been really mad at someone and you're maybe driving in your car, you're sitting in your house, and you're like dominating them in an imaginary argument? You know what I mean? You like just won this like amazing case against them in your mind. That's the idea. It's daydream. It's think about this. Practice this. Rehearse this. He says to immerse yourself. Do you see that word? That literally means, it says this, in it be. That's what it literally means. Just be in it. Practice, fully invest. It's the idea of being all in. Winning at spiritual leadership. Being fully invested. So key. One of the keys. In his book about success stories called Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell says this quote I want to share with you. Achievement is talent plus preparation. The problem with this view is that the closer psychologists look at the careers of the gifted, the smaller the role innate talent seems to play, and the bigger the role preparation seems to play. Bob Knight said it another way, coach of the Indiana Hoosiers. He said, everyone has a will to win, but it's the people that have a will to prepare to win that actually win. Be fully invested in my ministry. Practice. Immerse yourself. Winning at spiritual leadership. So important. But look what it says, and I'm not done with this point. It says, what does it say there? It says at the end of that verse 15, what does it say? That all may see your progress. That all may see your progress. One of the great temptations in leadership is to not show any weakness, to not show any need of or progress that you've accomplished, because that would show your need for progress and show your weakness. One of the biggest things men struggle with is being perceived or seen as incompetent. And yet Timothy has to lead from his weaknesses. He has to let people see his progress. People are impressed with your strengths, but they connect with you in your weaknesses. Lead from weakness. No one's arrived, Timothy. Paul hasn't arrived. You haven't arrived. Lead from your weaknesses and let people see your progress and practice. And practice does not make perfect. It doesn't. Practice makes progress. And that's the point here. Winning at spiritual leadership, six keys. Taking initiative, being impressive in spiritual maturity, getting in the word, developing your gift, being fully invested in last. Number six, have a healthy concern for my own salvation. Have a healthy concern for my own salvation. Let me show you this point from verse 16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Think about the way this verse must have landed on Timothy. Timothy is Paul's guy. Timothy's the best Paul has. He's better than you. He's better than me. He's an exemplary Christian. Paul says, I have no one else like him. But he says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, man, be careful. Make sure you persist in this. You could fall away, Timothy. You could fall away, Timothy. We're talking about all these people who've fallen away. You watch out for yourself. You watch your own life and your own doctrine, and you be careful, Timothy. And you say, well, I don't know. My systematic theology of eternal security doesn't really fit with this. Well, I'm sorry. We're preaching the Bible, not the scaffolding of the Bible today. He says, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this. The Greek word for persist is literally epimeno. Epi is a prefix that means intense. Meno means abide. Intensely abide in this idea of watching your life and your doctrine closely. And if you epimeno, you will save yourself and your hearers. This idea of epimeno, I mean, I love this word. It's one of my favorite words in the whole Bible. Intense abiding. I mean, this is, he's saying, Timothy, you got to have urgency. Real urgency about your soul. Healthy concern. He's saying, you know, it's kind of like this. You know, when you're studying for an exam in school, maybe it's definitely not the midterm of the first quarter. That exam, you're kind of like still like, it doesn't really matter. I'll fix it later. This is last quarter, final exam. And you know, if I don't pass this exam, I don't get to the next grade. If I don't pass this exam, I don't get my diploma. I might not graduate. And there is this sense of urgency that's real. You're like, man, I'm about to be all in, invested in studying. I'm urgent. I'm epimeno, man. I'm intensely abiding in my studies. That's the sense of urgency that Timothy needs to have here, a healthy concern for his own salvation. Look, let's look again at the verse, because I want you to see this and really wrestle just a little with what's actually being taught here. Verse 16 says, by doing this, you will save yourself and your hearers. Save? Well, surely, Matt, that's not the actual Greek word for save. I'm sure it must mean something different. No, it is the real word for save. Really? Because that seems to teach that somehow Timothy's performance is linked with his salvation. And we know that that's actually the content of the heresy at Ephesus. Performance as a basis for salvation? Something, that can't be what it means. Let's think about salvation as it's been taught and spoken of in 1 Timothy. And I'll just mention this verse to you, chapter 1, verse 15. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So Paul teaches in chapter 1, Jesus saves. And he saves the worst sinners like himself. Jesus saves, not Paul's performance. In fact, he says, Paul, of his performance, that he was the chief of sinners. Jesus saves. So the teaching on salvation is good. It's solid all through the Bible, and even in 1 Timothy, the teaching on salvation is this, that your performance and my performance, while I may be better than you or you may be better than me, at the end of the day, on the scale of God's holiness, we are all deemed sinful. And we need a Savior. Outside of ourselves, there's no sort of little part of you that's good, that if you can find it and really emphasize it and cultivate it and fan it into flame, then that will overtake your whole body and you'll be a good person. No. You need salvation from outside yourself. You need God's salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's why Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That's salvation. So when he says in chapter 4, verse 16, this verse we're looking at, persist in this. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul is not saying that the meritorious cause of Timothy's salvation will be this persisting. He's saying that the ultimate demonstration of evidence that Timothy has really encountered this true salvation will be his persisting. That he's really encountered salvation, that he's really come to know the authentic and true Jesus Christ of the Bible will be played out in this persisting. That's what he's teaching. That's what this means. Not saved by your moral performance. Surely not. But you're also not saved by mom's faith or Paul's faith. We must watch our own life and doctrine closely and persist in them. That's the teaching. So let me give a recap. Winning at spiritual leadership. And as I do this, just think of maybe what God is saying to you, encouraging you to take a step in. Take initiative in spiritual matters. Be impressive in spiritual maturity. Get in the Word with people. Develop the gift God put in me. Be fully invested in my ministry. have a healthy concern for my own salvation. I would just say, as we kind of try to apply this to our own lives, to think, first of all, about your leaders, about your pastors, about those leading you spiritually, and pray for them that they would walk in these ways. And as you think of aspiring to leadership of any kind, pray and aspire to walk in these ways. You say maybe today, man, Matt, this is great. I didn't come, though, looking for tips to be a pastor. That's the furthest thing from my mind. I came just to get an encouragement, just to get in the Word and just learn a little bit more about Christ and take my next step. That's all I'm here for. And that's okay. I think this is still very good for us to look at. But let me encourage you from this, if that's where you're at, let me encourage you from this specifically. Do you see the centrality of the Word? You think, I came to just take a next step. Man, I'm not thinking about being a great spiritual leader. That's good. Come for the Word. Don't come for entertainment. When you're a new Christian or you're just coming to get encouragement, oftentimes you're thinking, man, I just want to find a church that doesn't put me to sleep. And I've been there. I was there. But let me encourage you to really grow. Look for the Word. Look for the Word. It's so central to God's plan for His church. Another thing I would say is just watch your life and doctrine. Watch your life and your doctrine. Have sound beliefs. And really watch your life, that it is reflecting increasingly so, but never perfectly until Christ returns, those beliefs. Let's close in prayer, and band's going to sing one more for us and with us about Jesus being better. Lord, we thank you this morning for this Word. And we pray, God, that we would be victorious, Lord. We know that you have won the battle. You have defeated the enemy. And we want to walk in your victory, Lord. We want to follow in your ways. And we want to be great influencers for you and leaders in your ways. And so help us in this, Lord. I pray that you would just encourage anyone who feels this morning a sense of guilt or shame or conviction that's deep of not leading, of not being up to the task. Lord, may we not look at our performance to feel better, but may we look at your amazing grace to feel better, and may we trust in your strength and in your help and support to grow, to live differently. In Jesus' name, amen.